And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Yanis Janaeus, Emilio Danella, and Mike O'Connor. This episode, we'll be making our predictions for the upcoming foam season. This should be an interesting show. I look forward to going through this with my Cottage Talk co-host. But before I do anything, I have to welcome them back to the show. First, Mr. O'Connor, it's been a long time. How are you doing?
It has been, Russ. I'm doing just fine. Just kind of getting breaks in my busy schedule, not to make that an excuse, but I'm excited to go, and the season starts next week, so I'm really interested to see what you all have to say about this upcoming season.
Okay, very good. I look forward to getting your opinions on this upcoming season for fall. All right, Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm not bad. I'm having a nice rant. I'm doing a Trump. I'm having a good rant on Twitter at the moment. Yes, I'm doing a Trump. I'm ranting and raving.
Oh, on Twitter, right?
But not about Fulham. Okay. Not about beloved Fulham, but as I said to you before the show, our girls' soccer team got knocked out of provincials on the drawing of lots.
That's crazy.
It's pretty crap, to be honest. So I'm not a happy camper, but I'm hoping this show will cheer me up no end. We can talk about all things Fulham.
Okay, and that's what we're going to be doing, my friend. All right, Mr. Danello, how you doing, my friend?
Hello there, guys. Hi, Russ. Everybody. Yeah, it's good to be back. You know, I've had a bit of a grump Scrooge day, because in London here this time every year they have a 100 mile cycle race through London and Surrey and the surrounding county. So the whole of London effectively is gridlocked. So I couldn't actually drive outside of my front door basically for the whole day. So it's they keep doing this every single year. It's you know, I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there who do a lot of cycling, you know, who will probably defriend me on Twitter for saying this, but it's just literally, it's got a little bit silly now. 5 years and the whole of London gridlock just for this cycle race, which is 100 miles an hour. But anyway, looking forward to doing a show for Fulham, and, you know, it only seemed like yesterday that we had the predictions for last season. Yeah, that was 12 months ago already, so
goes by.
Can't believe how fast time goes by, and here we are, less than a week away from the new season, and, you know, lots to think about, potentially lots to worry about, but also things to look forward to. So, yeah, let's good to share some of the predictions with the rest of the guys.
Absolutely. All right. Before we start our predictions, and obviously we're going to start with Fulham, let's start with just a little bit of analysis of the preseason of these friendlies. Listen, Fulham haven't had many good results so far, but what do you take out of it? Do you take much out of it? Do you take a little out of it? Yanis, I'm going to start with you. Let's talk about it. Unfortunately, Fulham ended their preseason with a 3-0 loss to Wolfsburg at Craven Cottage. Bad result. For me, it is also a good amount to do about getting fit, getting ready for the upcoming game. We were missing some key players. I know it sounds like I'm making excuses. Maybe I am, but how much do you read out of these friendlies so far?
Very little, to be honest, Russ. I mean, you know, we live over here, obviously in North America, where, you know, you got the exhibition games and friendlies, and it's just an opportunity for the players, you know, to get back into the routine, get match fit. And they're not completely, totally match fit by the time, you know, next Saturday rolls around anyway. And, you know, and see if there are any niches or changes in terms of potential tactics, any additions to not just the players, but the coaching staff. It's something that, you know, you can win 5 games preseason, everybody be, you know, raving on, and people jumping off buildings if we lose 5 in a row preseason. So I really play no stock in it. When the whistle blows at 3 p.m. next Saturday at Craven Cottage against Norwich City, that's when the real games begin, and that's when I think we can start to get a true sense of where we're going.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, Emilio, I want to get your thoughts on this. It's funny because I was thinking about this before we came on to do this show. I remember speaking to our co-host Mike Gregg, who went to the Brighton preseason match last season when we beat them 3-1 and dominated basically, and he told me not to read too much into it, and look what happened to Brighton. It really didn't mean much to Brighton in the end, but here we are. We did not have good results, but it is about getting fit, getting ready for the new season. What is your view of these preseason friendlies?
I think if you look back over the years, this is probably our hardest preseason in living memory. I can't remember the last time we played a number of tough games. You know, with our neighbours down the road, we've played Wolfsburg, a very strong German team.
West Ham,
you know, the Premier League team. So again, we've had the opportunity to play against very, very good teams. you know, we've struggled in most of those games. You know, what was quite clear is we're not, maybe not scoring enough goals. Injuries are starting to come through. That's, and I think these preseason, what do they show us? They give us the opportunity to gel if you've got a squad of players to play with. You've also got the opportunity where you've got gaps and weaknesses, and you also get the opportunity to start getting fit, ready for the new season. So I think it's actually been a good learning curve, hopefully, for the board and for the whole squad, because what we've seen is the squad is a bit too thin. Yes, I don't read too much into the games, but when you're getting hammered 8-2 by your local neighbours, 3-0 at home by a German team and some other bad defeats in the last few weeks, and you can't ignore that. So as far as I'm concerned, yes, it's proving that we're not quite ready. We need more depth. We might need a stronger squad. Now, I don't think necessarily we've strengthened year on year. I think what we've done, we've secured longer-term signings for some of our players, and we've started maybe a bit slow in the transfer market, but we've had injuries this time around. We didn't have that last season, 12 months ago, nor throughout the season last year. And if we continue to have season, you know, injuries for the rest of the season, we will struggle unless we get some good signings. So I think it's been a good eye-opener. You know, we've had a poor pre-season. I don't read too much into it, but what it is highlighting is maybe the squad's a bit too thin and okay. The board needs to do something very, very quickly.
Okay, I'm going to get back to you in a second, Milo, because I definitely have something that I want to get your thoughts on, but I want to go to Mike first. Mike, your thoughts on the preseason so far, these friendlies?
I'm kind of a mixture. I agree with both Giannis and Emilio here on the preseason. I don't read much into preseasons because that's exactly what they are, preseason. As much as the results aren't very flattering for us, the ultimate result is to gel as a team and to get your fitness under you and to play 90 minutes at a time prior to the start of the season. And they don't affect the league table. They don't affect any cups. They don't affect any bids for promotion. So I'm not too worried about the results of the preseason. But what they do say is, just as Emilio points out, is how thin the squad can be and how in this last match here against Wolfsburg, you had K-Mac out, Cabano out, and Kearney out, and how much of a difference that makes. Now, it did give Norwood and Cisse a chance to stretch their legs and play in the midfield trio with Johansson, so that's a positive. But I think it's showing that we missed Scott Malone a little bit, that we're in need of a striker, and that a couple of injuries in the beginning, middle, end of the season could really cost us some valuable points. So I don't read much into it, but it definitely shows that between now and August 31st, we need to do some business in the transfer window.
Very good point. And the reason why I wanted to continue this discussion is what I'm going to ask you, Mike, and then I'm going to go over to Emilio and Giannis. I see this as a wake-up call in a positive way. What I mean by this is that when you have a situation like we have, this isn't just about the players, it's about the coaching, and it's also about ownership. When you see what we don't have right now, like you guys have been talking about, that we're thin, we lack depth, we need players, maybe situations like this heighten it and get them to act. So for ownership, I hope they're looking at this and thinking to themselves, okay, we need players. So I see that as a positive, that the results and the way that we're playing haven't been great, that they now need to act. That's number one. I also see it as motivation for Slavisa. And I've seen this with my New England Patriots. Preseason, not looking great, Mike. And what ends up happening is the coach has a chance to go at his players, get at them, and let them know you're not that good. You need to work at your game. So I actually see the fact that they've been struggling against some of these teams as a way for Slavisa to really motivate these players and get them to play together and let them know, hey, people are talking great about you, but you've done nothing yet. That's where I'm going on this, Mike. I want to get your thoughts, and then I'll go to the other guys on it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I also see it as a positive that, yeah, we haven't been too active in acquiring new transfers, but the fact that Piazon came back, Callis came back, Sessegnon signed, Kearney signed, and you got all these guys coming back and basically telling the awful, telling the fans, like, you know, we believe in the mission here, we see what's going on, and the fact that the only one missing from our very successful team last year is Scott Malone, which does hurt. It's credence to what Slavisa is doing, and it is a wake-up call to show that you obviously weren't good enough last year, no offense, boys, but you're obviously not good enough now. You need to put the extra work in. You need to put the extra time in. And we definitely need some people in case of injuries. This isn't a slight on any one player or any group of individuals. It's the fact that that's just where we stand. So it is a wake-up call. And I think regardless of the defeat, it could only provide positives in the end because they're playing a very good side in Wolfsburg and they got beaten by Chelsea. And if that's the caliber that they want Fulham to be, they're not going to get it maintaining where they are now. They're just going to have to get better. And that's where it is.
Okay. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up, Mike. And Emilio, this is why I wanted to go back to you on this, because as you're speaking, I'm thinking, let's talk about this, because again, we can be very negative and say, oh, going down a bad path, or we can go down this other path, which I think that they can go, and that's take all this and use this as motivation to better yourself. I'm talking about everyone. I'm talking about ownership. Bring in the players that we need. We need two strikers. We need a left back. I'm saying right now, we need a goalkeeper. See what's going on in preseason and get it done now. We need these things to get us where we want to be. So that, to me, is a wake-up call for ownership. For the players, not playing great, you know, losing these matches, losing 8-2 to Chelsea can't feel good. I know it's behind the scenes, but still. And then, of course, your last preseason match in front of your fans and you lose 3-0. That can't feel good, but you can use that as motivation to get better. There are reasons why they lost 3-0, but still, motivation. And, of course, then you have the coach, and we're going to be talking about him in a little bit, what he said after the match. But Emilio, I see this as a wake-up call, and it could actually be a good thing for Fulham in the long term.
I think so, and I think, you know, let's look at it from another perspective. You know, the spine of the team is still there. And let's be very honest. You know, we haven't, to Mike's point, we've only lost Scott Malone. Other than that, we've got, you know, Carlos back. We've got Piazon back. We've extended contract of Kearney. We've got Sessegnon for the next two or three seasons. The Alucos for now are still there. Cabano is still there. You know, the spine is pretty much still there. What we haven't done is necessarily gone a step forward and actually bring a bit more depth. You know, you could argue Norwood is coming in for Parker, a younger version of Parker. So that's a tick in the box. Cisse gives a bit more defensive cover in midfield, potentially cover for Kevin McDonald. But we need a goalkeeper. You know, we've seen Button looks very uncomfortable. You know, and I obviously want to take it against the fans. Yes, they were booing him every time he touched the ball. And when he came on, I think that was just unprofessional amongst our fans. You know, if you don't like a player, just keep quiet. He's still our player at the end of the day. So I'll take offence that the fans gave him a hard time yesterday. But what it goes to show is if Bettinelli is out, Button is not comfortable at the moment. The best thing to do is to let him go and let's get a replacement keeper. We need a left back. We need some strikers. So yeah, I agree with you. It is a wake-up call. It shows that we're a little bit thin in the ground. Although we've kept that spine of the team from last season, to push on, we need to get better quality and more depth. And, you know, that's what's missing at the moment. Yes, we've got another 4 weeks of the season to transfer window to go. But I would have liked to have seen a few more players come in so we could have actually played a little bit more as a team, as a unit the last 4 weeks. What we haven't been able to do is play a consistent structure, a consistent model and consistent game because we've had either injuries or some players not going on, you know, on tour, some staying here. And it's just been a little bit fragmented, really. So the last 4 weeks, you could argue, have been written off to some extent. And we just have to hope for the best. We get some new signings and hope that Slavisa brings it all together and gets the best out of the players. But it is a wake-up call. And, you know, with all these injuries, we've really not had any opportunity to get any momentum and confidence.
I'm there with you, Emilio. And that's what's interesting about this, because, like I said, there are two paths that this team can take. They can go down this path that we don't want them to go, that it's just not going to be their season, that there are too many things working against them, that it started off very badly, meaning that there was no momentum going into the season. Or it can be taken as a wake-up call on what they need to do to get us where we need to be, to act, to react to how things have gone so far. So, Giannis, I want to go over to you. I want to get your thoughts on this because with all this going on, and listen, I read everything on Twitter, and I understand the frustration, but I also remember watching an opening game in 2003 of the New England Patriots losing 31-0 to the Buffalo Bills. Your Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I remember that game.
And that same season, and again, that was a time where that season could have gone one of two ways. Even though it was the opening game, it could have gone really badly. Well, everyone got together. Season turned around real quick, and then the Patriots ended up going to the Super Bowl. So when you have a situation where when you have a wake-up call like that, you can actually take that and move forward. So I want to get your thoughts on this because I understand why fans are nervous, but this could also be a blessing in disguise. That's where I'm going on this.
Yeah, I think it is a blessing in disguise. I've said it before many times. You know, when you win, you're never as good as you think you are. So, you know, it gives you certainly incentive to work on the training field. And Slavisa's got his plans well underway for next Saturday's game. I mean, he said all the right things to the media. I think probably quietly, privately, he's a little frustrated about the level of transfer business. And, you know, let's not forget that we may pick up the kid Camara in the next 48 hours. There's the Roland fiasco. You know, he's passed the medical, but he doesn't want to sign for us because he's waiting for a Premier League team. But there are still players that are out there right now. And, you know, often, of course, we don't really get to hear what's going on behind the scenes. What he can do is like what every other good coach does. He prepares for a game with what he's got right now. He does have some concerns, obviously. But, I mean, I'm sure it's the same for most other teams, you know, on paper. I'm sure every other supporter in this championship, maybe with the exception of Middlesbrough, who seem to have bought everybody, concerned about their transfer, you know, transfer business dealings. So, you know, he'll do with what he's got. And look at the players we've managed to, you know, bring back Callas and re-sign Sessegnon and Kearney. And, you know, we're in pretty good shape, providing we're injury free. And we've brought in a new goalkeeping coach as well. And who knows, he may make a difference too. So, Slava will get them ready. You know, I don't expect any overreaction from him or the coaching staff. And providing, you know, the powers that be obviously know that we've got, I think, the smallest squad in the division right now. And get some targets in nice and quickly. It'll keep the manager happy and it'll hopefully keep the fans happy as well.
Okay, very good there. All right. Before we go into predictions, I do want to talk about Slavisa because Slavisa had some very interesting things to say after the match. And Yanis, I'm going to start with you. I read this. I actually heard the audio on BBC London. And just so you know, guys, I'm going to be doing an interview during this week with Ryan O'Donovan, who was actually there, and he's going to talk to me about it. He's looking forward to talking about what he learned from that presser with Slavisa and also the match as well. And we're going to be previewing the season. So I look forward to speaking to Ryan O'Donovan from Get West London. But I want to get your thoughts first, Yanis, and then I'll go to you, Emilio, and then finally you, Mike. What do you take out of Slavisa's comments after the match?
I think it's posturing. It's just, you know, he's saying all the right things. I'm sure in his own little subtle way, he's saying, look, get some targets in, do it quickly. I don't think it's anything that the brass doesn't already. I mean, I've voiced my concerns with some of the brass in terms of their transfer policy. I know some fans are concerned that Slavisa will walk, but I don't think he will. He's got too much invested in this.
I don't see that at all, by the way.
No. He's got too much invested in this team, in this club.
Exactly.
You know, he wants to be here, and I'm expecting a few signings this year, this week, and then you know, we do need a bit of luck as well. I mean, we're not going to be starting the season exactly healthy, but you know what, we've got a decent back four. Midfield is as good as probably the best in the division. You know, if he's looking to play with the false number nine right now, I think he's, you know, he's maybe a striker short, but I mean, we'll see how that goes. And you know, it's a little bit like I was talking to you about this thing about our team today. You know, when you get to a situation where, for example, to get through to another round of a tournament, you're drawing lots. You sort of have to laugh because you've got no control over it. We can moan and we can send emails and we can text our concerns and what have you. But in the end of the day, yeah, we are the fans, but it's the owners that pull the strings, and they're going to do what they're going to do. And we just hope that they listen, and have faith that they listen. But, you know, all we can really do is, as you mentioned before, support the players that are wearing the black and white. Don't boo them. Don't give them a hard time. No player, it's like telling a student they like to fail. They don't like to fail. Players don't like to be crap at what they do. They don't like to lose every game. They want to succeed. They want to win divisional championships. They want to play in the Premier League. So get behind them, cheer them on, and let's see what the next week or two does in terms of A, results, and B, in terms of transfer dealings.
Okay, excellent there, Yanis. Okay, Emilio, back over to you. Definitely want your thoughts on this because what got me to start this conversation was wake-up call. And we've seen this before from Savica. He has been frustrated. He has gone to the media to let known his frustration. He's done it again. What do you come out of this with?
Same old, really. A bit boring, really. He's not saying anything we don't already know. I think it's just him venting his frustrations. I think the results
That's what I think.
Talking. You know, it's very clear the results haven't been good enough. There's a number of factors for that. And he's just stressed, I think, really stressing the obvious, really. He's just letting the frustration get the better of him. But yeah. At the end of the day, we've all got our day jobs. There'll be days when some days things go well and other days they don't go so well. And, you know, if I was as outspoken as him in my career, I probably would have been sacked a few times. So it's, I think he just, you know, the only thing is to buckle up, focus on the game, you know, the plays that you've got, you know, prepare yourself mentally for the game against Norwich next week. You know, what it did remind me of is the article from was it the Mirror about a month or so ago? And there's all that speculation about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And again, it's now starting to come out. It's actually come out of his mouth, you know, verbally. Last time it was all a bit of speculation, a bit of uncomfortable, you know, Klein and Jurkanovic not happy, et cetera, et cetera. Now he's effectively said that in black and white. You know, he's basically not agreeing with the transfer policy. He needs some players. He doesn't want Aluko sold underneath him. So again, it's basically all pointing towards one person. So that needs to be bottomed out and addressed very, very quickly, because I'm also starting to see a bit of that tension also feeding onto the pitch. That's what's important. If you can keep it in the back room, keep it behind closed doors, don't let it impact your play, it's fine. But if you start to be a little bit more vocal in your feelings towards the board, that spreads amongst the players. The players start to get uncomfortable, they get restless.
I agree with you.
And that's not good tricks. So it wouldn't surprise me that performances on the pitch have been lacking in the last week, maybe because of what's been going on behind the scenes. And yesterday it all came out.
No, it's a very good point, Emilio, and I just want to go back to you before I go to Mike. I understand his frustration. I understand that this is who he is. He lets it all out. I get all that. But if you're asking me, I would prefer it to stay in-house, partially for what you just said. The players don't need to hear this. You know, the players don't need this. Keep it in-house. That's just where I'm coming from. If there's an issue, you work it out amongst yourselves. That's the way I see it. And it sounds like you agree with me on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It just feels like negativity that always has an, you know, if you're looking up to your manager, to your coach, and you're feeling tension, you're feeling negativity, that spreads very, very quickly.
Absolutely.
I feel from reading some of the performances in the friendlies, yes, we're saying that we don't read too much in the preseason friendlies, but what has been lacking is a bit of, you know, the flow of football that we play. Our passing hasn't been quite there. Defensively, very insecure. Goalkeeping, we've made lots of errors. It just looks a little bit broken at the moment. And we can't keep using thin squad, injuries. There's something maybe more fundamental behind the scenes that's causing the below par performances in the last few weeks. Let's see what happens against Norwich on Saturday. But that's not good. Managing sometimes it needs to just keep quiet and let them and take it, you know, behind the scenes. Don't do it in public. Don't air your dirty laundry in public, as they say. So it's worrying, you know, more in terms of what is the impact to the performances on the pitch. That's what I'm worried about.
And I'm glad that you went there. I wasn't even thinking about that, but now that you said that, I see where you're going, because negativity can spread. And if you're out in the press talking about all of your issues, your players hear this. Well, let's just keep it in-house. You know, you can have these problems, and then you work it out with the people you need to work it out with, so the players can then just do their job. Everyone just needs to do their job, and the press don't need to know about this. I don't need to know this. Honestly, I don't need to know that there's an issue here. Work it out and move on, because the bigger picture is we all want the team to be successful, and you need to work out your issues if there are some. All right, Mr. O'Connor, your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, as the old adage goes, you want to praise in public and criticize in private. And that's exactly what we've all been saying here, and that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm not saying because we can't be honest with what's going on, but it gets to a point where it's just gone too far. And there's a point where I feel like Slavisa is doing this so that if everything kind of goes, you know, egg-shaped and pear-shaped, falls over, he can point to the board and say, I've been saying this for 2 seasons now. Everyone's seen, I've said it in the public, that you ignore me. You don't do my recruitment techniques. You just state yourselves that I have no say in replacement of key positions or players. So essentially, he's shoring up his position for if something was to happen and if he had to go somewhere else. He's got some historical narrative to back up his ability as a manager, and not that he failed at Fulham, but that Fulham failed him. I'm not saying he's that kind of a guy, but it just seems now like he's kind of just putting it out there for everyone to see that this is the board failing me, not me failing them. So it gets kind of moany at times now for me, where I'm like, look, we understand you've been saying this stuff for a while, and I completely back Slavisa 110% over Klein and Khan on the board, 100%. I think he's fantastic, and I want him to stay. But there's just certain things as a professional in a professional environment you don't do, and this is starting to broach the line where he needs to kind of just cut back a little bit on it. And in the age of social media, the players don't need to be walking around the town trying to enjoy their own private lives, get ready for a game. And instead of being told, hey, you guys are playing great, you guys are wonderful, we're really excited for the game, that turns into what's going on in the background, are you guys okay, where'd this player go, and then just kind of filling their personal and private lives and professional with negativity rather than positivity and any sort of motivation. So, yeah, I agree with everything that's been said.
Okay. Listen, for me, it really is just about doing your job. I get that from another team, and probably most of you are sick of hearing about the New England Patriots, and I understand that. But in this case, the one thing that they do really well, and that's keep their business quiet. And that's what I wish Fulham would be doing right now. Keep your business quiet. Take care of the issues that you have. We understand the wake-up calls. Because as Emilio said, this can happen. Negativity can spread. If you see an excuse, then there's another excuse. No excuses. Just do your job. All right, guys, it's time to go to predictions, and I'm looking forward to your predictions. I also asked for predictions from the Fulham supporters, so we have some. So let's start with the predictions for Fulham. So I first put this on the Cottage Talk Twitter page and asked for predictions. I had 325 votes, a decent amount of votes. And here was the question, what is your season prediction for from this season? The options were automatic promotion, 3rd to 6th, which is playoffs, 7th to 12th, and then, of course, 13th to 24th. All right, let's start with 13th to 24th. That got 1%. 7th to 12th got 10%. Playoffs, 3rd to 6th, was at 51%, so that was the majority. And then automatic promotion, interesting, was at 38%. All right, guys. Let's now go into predictions. Mr. Dinello, I'm going to start with you. What is your prediction for Fulham this season?
I'm going to say they'll inch into the playoffs. I'm not saying I don't think they're automatic promotion. I'm not going for them. I don't believe they can do it this season. And this is as of now. So with the assumption the squad is as of now, with the expectation there might be one or two signings, but we don't know who they may be. I think, you know, I'm not sure we've got enough there to get the 90 points mark. You know, I think we're good enough to get 78, 81, 82 points. Again, as long as we start consistently well from next week. But it's, you know, I'm saying a fringe playoff place. I think last year, I think I predicted 8th or 9th, but believed they could have hit 76 points and we surpassed that. So I think we can do the same, but we're light for light. If we look at our squad now to last season, it's been, like I said earlier on, the spine hasn't really much changed. What we haven't done is strengthened in the key departments that we needed to reinforce to get that automatic promotion. But if we get a stronger keeper, we get a confident left back, and we get a striker, then that automatic promotion is doable. Because I think this is the most, obviously the easiest championship division to get out of. I think there's no standout team here. And I think this is a great opportunity to, you know, someone who gets the right balance, the right defence, get the right number of goals, and then the championship is there to be taken, really, in my opinion. But it's that thing stand now. I think, you know, we'll do well to get into the playoffs.
Okay, very good there, my friend. You made your point pretty clear there. All right, Giannis, over to you. What's your season prediction here?
I think we'll make the playoffs. I'm predicting right now 3rd. Dependent on what happens in terms of signings. Right now, Middlesbrough scares me. Sheffield Wednesday does too. I think we're good enough to certainly finish playoffs. Third is about right. That might change depending on what signings we bring in and depending on that, you know, the sort of start that we get off to. But there's no reason why we can't make the playoffs. I think we've certainly got the quality. We've just got to stay healthy, and providing there are no changes on the managerial front and we don't lose any players. I mean, you've been hearing these rumours about, you know, Sonny Aluko. I think we should be fine. But we can't, as fans, we can't panic. You know, if we go out and we thump Norwich next week, we don't go out and, you know, celebrate and get drunk. In the same way as if we lose to Norwich at the Cottage, we don't go out and decide we're going to, you know, drink a couple of bottles of gin or something like that. So I think, you know, we, as fans, we've got to be circumspect. But I think third is about right, but with maybe one or two more signings, I think we could maybe slip into the top two. I'm confident.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, Mr. O'Connor, over to you.
I think we're going to get into fifth position. And I think the only difference between this year and next year, just, and I'm only saying this based on the fact that we might get one or two more signings, probably not lose anybody, but just really maybe get one or two. I think we'll be comfortably in fifth. I don't think we're going to have that drop in form where we went to around 12th and sat there for a couple months. I think we'll be in and around the playoff spots between fourth and eighth, really the entire season, really stabilizing at fifth come the end of it. And as for the actual playoff, if we'll make it up, I don't know. That's yet to be seen. But I think comfortably fifth with a little bit of a gap between fifth and sixth, I think is where we'll be.
Okay, excellent, guys. Very interesting predictions. I'm going to share some predictions from the Fulham supporters on the Cottage Talk Facebook page before I give you guys my prediction. Let's start with Chris Baugh, top three. I fear Villa and Middlesbrough. Okay, let's see. Stephen FFC Collins, fifth. Alan Druitt, if we get a good striker, definitely go up. Roger Lewis, if we can stop getting defensive errors, a top two for me. Scoring was never a problem, but we never found how to win an ugly 1-0 match. Roger, you're 100% right on that. Ben Reed, sixth again. I think we need to temper expectations. Jason Gaddis, I got us finishing fourth and going up via the playoffs. James Dowden, I think it'll be sixth again, but can be higher up the ladder if we invest in a good striker. Reg Hollis, he says fighting relegation. Steve Woodyard says eighth as it stands, subject to any additions. Josh Smith, fifth place right now, unless we can address key positions, starting goalkeeper and a striker and a backup central defender. And Alan Hammersley says champions, of course. And there are others, but just for time's sake, I will stop there. Thank you, everyone, for your predictions. All right, guys, I've given this a good amount of thought. I've already made this prediction on another podcast, so I'm not going to change my mind with this. Here's the situation. I am going to predict automatic promotion. I am predicting second. And maybe I shouldn't assume because we know what happens when you assume. But I do believe that the board knows what we need and will give Savisa what he needs. We have now gotten the wake-up call. Part of the reason why I'm making this prediction is because of the wake-up call that I think everyone has now gotten. Will they act? I'm going to hope that they act. I'm a positive person. I think they will act and get the players that we need. So I'm going for automatic promotion. I'm saying second. I say the winner is going to be Sheffield Wednesday. I'm already jumping ahead, guys, to who's going to come first and second. I'm saying Sheffield Wednesday is going to win the championship and Fulham will come in second. I feel good about this. We have the continuity. I think everyone's forgetting about the continuity. All the players that are still with us. We've only lost Scott Malone and we've also lost Chris Martin. Everyone else is back. That's a big thing. We also have the manager. As long as the manager is here and this team is intact, we'll deal with injuries, but we need to add. And if we add, like I think we're going to add, I'm saying automatic promotion in second place. That's where I'm going, guys. All right, Emilio, over to you. I've already given you first and second. Who's your first and second?
Yeah, I think you stole my thunder there. So I've got Sheffield Wednesday winning it. I think they've been in the playoffs the last couple seasons and sort of, you know, not quite made it. But they've made a statement of intent this transfer window. They've gone with strikers. Again, the key thing here is I think their lack of goals last season maybe was a downfall for them. It didn't kill games off when they should have done. So I think the fact that they brought in Jordan Rhodes, George Boyd, they brought in George Boyd as well, so capable at this level. So I think there's a statement of intent there. And they've actually been buying Jordan Rhodes from a team in the same division. That's interesting. That might bite Middlesbrough, to be honest. The fact that they've sold their own striker to one of their sort of rivals, shall we say. So I think Sheffield Wednesday have got lessons learned from the last two or three seasons. They've invested early and they're doing quite well in pre-season. I think they've got a statement to tell this could be their season. They've got a good fan base, good stadium, and maybe this is their year. And I've got Middlesbrough as being second. I think They're the team most likely from the relegated teams to make a difference. Last season, they had a very poor season, didn't score enough goals, but they've really got enough depth there. They've really started making some good transfer signings. There usually is a team that goes down, that goes straight back up. And I think of the three, I think the Mirrors were the most likely to do that. But I just think from their experience, they've been here before. They know what it's like. They're a bit of a yo-yo team of late. And I see them two being automatic promotion, to be honest. I don't see anyone else. There are other teams who might be there or thereabouts. We could talk about that after, the likes of Villa, Norwich, yep. Leeds. You know, they're all very similar to Fulham, really. So I think it's going to be that top six, those four places in the playoffs, it's going to be pretty tough to achieve that when you've got so many teams sort of similar as yourself. So, but my view is Sheffield Wednesday will do it this year. Third time lucky, and I think Middlesbrough might get that second place.
Okay, so you have Sheffield Wednesday and Middlesbrough. I certainly understand why you were going with those two. Over to you, Mr. O'Connor. Who do you have at first and second?
I just flip-flop Emilio's. I've got Middlesbrough going up first, and I've got Sheffield Wednesday in second. I think Middlesbrough has spent so much money that it's basically going to be sheer force that gets them into first. Maybe not even just technical skill or ability as a team, but the individuals that they have that can just get that goal against their own play that I think is really going to, unfortunately, kind of make them the almost the early Newcastle of this league. I don't mean it in the fact that if you look at last season, Newcastle blew away the competition because they obviously didn't. But I just mean that with the amount that they spent, it was near impossible for them to not get into an automatic promotion spot. So I think Middlesbrough will be first. I think Wednesday, just shore up what they did last year. The additions they've made, I think they're definitely an automatic team as well.
Okay. Giannis, over to you. Who do you have first and second?
I think my beloved Ipswich Town are going to win the division.
really?
Well, I'll tell you one team it won't be. That's Aston Villa, because they're going to need walking sticks by the middle of the season. Their team's so old.
That's pretty funny.
It is. What an embarrassing close season for Aston Villa. Like, really, the geriatrics 11. I think... I can't really disagree with the Sheffield Wednesday Middlesbrough 1-2. Sheffield Wednesday have the experience of being in the playoffs the last couple of years. And
been knocking at the door.
They really should be there or thereabouts. And Middlesbrough have made some scary signings, but they have to, they have to bed in as well. They've got a lot of quality there. But this is going to be a very tough division, and there's a lot of money that's floating around at the moment. What has surprised me are that teams like Sunderland have really done so little, which I found a little bit odd. But if you look at the way that, third through 10th finished, I mean, obviously Huddersfield went up, and you look at the signings that the teams have made, it just goes to show what a competitive division it is. And it, unfortunately for teams like Millwall and Bolton and Burton are going to, they could be really staring down the barrel this year at a number of games, because it's such a competitive division. But I'm not going to deviate from, I think it'll be a Sheffield Wednesday, Middlesbrough 1-2, in the hope that we may be sneaking into one of those top two spots.
Okay. All right, let's go to third to sixth. And Emilio, I'm going to start with you. If you want, feel free to say who you think could win the playoffs, which is really difficult to do. So it's probably very difficult to predict. So let's just stick with third through sixth. Who do you have here?
This was quite a hard selection. So I'm actually going we go bottom up. So I think Fulham will get into sixth place. So I think we've covered that. I think the other three places are up between Norwich City. I think Norwich have got a point to prove. They underperformed last season, disappointed. I think they've been a little bit quiet as well in the transfer window this season so far as well. But I suspect Norwich know what this division. They've got a new coach, getting some good plaudits as well. So I think Norwich might surprise a few people and maybe we'll get in that playoff place. I think Leeds United have spent a lot of money as well. I think Leeds were all there or thereabouts last season. They still fell away because they maybe just didn't have the depth at the end of the day. But they've made some intriguing signings. They've strengthened from goalkeeper right through to centre forward. So I see Leeds being a difficult team to beat. over two games the next season. So I see them being in the top six. And funny enough, you know, despite what Yannis said, I actually had Aston Villa in them top six. I think they've got a very capable manager. They've got a few old heads there. Yes, agreed. But, you know, there's still another 4 weeks of the transfer window. I see Aston Villa equally got a point to prove. They've got to get start pushing up. They've got a big fan base. You know, they won't tolerate anything less than top six. And if they start underperforming, Steve Bruce will be gone before Christmas. So I actually think Villa could be that sort of that team that will sneak into the top six as well with Fulham. There are other teams I'd consider as Wolverhampton Wanderers. I think will have a good season. They've got, you know, wealthy owners. They've got a statement of intent as well. And you've got Reading as well, potentially. I think, did they have a one-off season last year? We'll see. They're trying to poach everyone else's players, but, you know, they've been fairly quiet in the transfer window so far. But I'm going for Norwich third, Villa fourth, Leeds fifth, and Fulham sixth.
Okay. Very good there, my friend. All right. Mr. O'Connor, over to you.
So I'm going to go from third down as well. We already know that I predicted Fulham fifth, and I'm going to stick to that. But I think that third is going to be Reading. I think fourth is going to be Norwich. I think fifth, Fulham. And sixth, I believe, will be Leeds. I think Leeds were as happy as I was. They didn't slip out of the playoffs. I think, as Emilio kind of hit the nail on the head, like they are kind of destined, I guess. Not destined. That's kind of giving them way too much credit. They're a pretty awful team with awful supporters. But they're definitely going to be there. They've got the skill. They've got the players. They've got the coach. And as much as I think Villa, I don't think they'll be relegation fodder. I think Villa will be middle of the road. And I think Wolves will be somewhere between 7th and 8th, kind of nipping at the heels of Leeds. But yeah, I'm going to go with Reading, Norwich, Fulham, Leeds for 3rd through 6th.
Okay. Yannis, over to you.
I think Ipswich will be 3rd through 6th myself. Actually, I just read boys that our friend Lasse Vegan Christensen scored a hat-trick today on his home debut. So a player I didn't want sold, and I've made that pretty abundantly clear. But there you go. 3rd through 6th. Well, I'm going to say 3rd will be Fulham, hoping to the 2nd. 4th, I think, will be Norwich. 5th, I'm going to say Leeds United. They surely can't choke the way they did last year. And I say Wolves, 6th. Wolves have spent a lot of money in the close season, so they're going to make a real run for it. A team that I might be just – I'm just going to put an outside pick out there just to throw this out there is Preston North End.
I agree with you.
Team that you're going to have to keep just a little eye on. Do I think they're quite ready yet? Maybe not, but a team that can be a little scary, and they'd be my outside pick to make the top six. But those would be my – so 3 to 6 would be Fulham, Norwich, Leeds, and Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Okay. All right, guys, I'm going to go with Middlesbrough for 3rd, Reading for 4th. I think people are forgetting about Reading, and the reason why I'm putting Reading is because I actually think that Jaap Stam is a fine manager, and I think he'll get them ready. I saw what he did against Fulham, and I think people are underestimating Reading again. So I'm saying Middlesbrough, Reading, Leeds United, and Wolves. I understand Wolves totally. I definitely get the Wolves thing. All right, guys, let's now go to relegation. Who are going to be the three teams that are going to get relegated? Emilio, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so before we do that, as well, again, let's just also put into context, we've not mentioned like Derby County, Hull City, other big teams, but teams who will give us problems next season as well. So it's, you know, we've pretty much aligned. I think six of those 16, I think most of us are saying 4, Middlesbrough, Sheffield Wednesday, Villa, Leeds, Fulham and Norwich. There's 5 teams we're all fairly consistent with. This is that 16. Yeah. But there's Derbies, there's Hulls, you know, there's Wolves. There's, sure. My potential surprise pack is Sheffield United. Keep an eye on Sheffield United this season. They might be the Preston North End of last season, but that's just something I want to throw out there. So in terms of relegation, I think Millwall. I think I've got Millwall doomed to finish bottom. I know they signed Ryan Tunnicliffe, but that might not be a bad signing for them. That could be a good signing for them in the middle of the park. And I've got Burton Albion did well to stay up last season. I want them to stay up, but have they got enough in the tank? I'm not too sure. I think Burton look perilous. And then the other one I'm going for is Barnsley. Barnsley were, I think, top 3 last November and sunk like a ton of bricks over the last 6 months. Oh, I see Barnsley's been that third team going down.
Okay, very good. I'll do this quickly. Mine are Millwall, Burton Albion, and Bolton. I think Bolton are going to go right back down. That's just my thoughts on them. Over to you, Giannis, your three relegated teams.
You just named them. I think Millwall deserve to be in Division 100 because that's the sort of club they are. Bolton Wanderers. Bolton did very well to get promoted. I just don't think they have the horses. Again, very difficult division. And Burton Albion, you know, I've got a real soft spot for them. But I think, you know, small stadium. I think their only hope is to try and look to pick up loan players like, you know, Lasavigan and Corley helped them last year. And that's what really put them over the top, kept them up. And they're going to need that sort of commitment again this year. I just think it's tough, but they're a small... 20 years ago, a club like Burton Albion, you know, could be a club that could go all the way to the Premier League because really the money thing wouldn't have been as much of a factor. But I think it's an absolute miracle they're in our division. And I think it was a miracle they stayed up. To me, that was maybe the big story of last year. But I just can't see them surviving it the second time round. I hope they do, actually, but I don't think they will. So I'm going to go for that horrible team based on Lions, Bolton and Burton.
Okay. Mr. O'Connor, over to you.
I'd love to say QPR for all three spots, but that's obviously probably not going to
happen. The ha-ha's.
Yeah, I'd really like to be laughing at them, but I have a feeling they'll be just mid-table again. I honestly think it's going to be, unfortunately, Burton at 24th in the very bottom. As much as I want them to stay up, I'm with Giannis. I've got a very big soft spot for them. I think it's going to be Burton in 24th. 23rd is going to be Millwall. And 22nd is going to be Bolton. So I echo the same three, just in a varying order.
Okay, very good. All right. Guys, let's talk about players to end the show. We're going to do this together. And Mike O'Connor, I'm going to start with you. We've had a few signings. Who will be our best signing this summer? And then who's going to be our player of the season? So I'm going to give you both together.
Okay. So best signing of the summer. Currently, I can see Norwood being the best signing of the summer. And then for potential signings of the summer, whoever the striker is, let's just call it Kamara for now. He's going to be my signing of the summer for the fact that, for the love of God, we have one. So... I think Norwood and then Kamara or whoever takes his place if that falls through. And then player of the season is probably going to go to Stefan Johansson.
Okay, very good. Emilio, over to you.
There's two ways you can look at this one. Who's the best son? Maybe the best son is yet to come. Maybe let's all stay with bated breath and might get, you know, a signing that we've all been looking forward to, you know, and maybe that potential signing, whoever that may be, whether it's a striker or a goalkeeper, might be the best signing out there. But at the moment, you know, I'd probably say either one of Tom Kane or Sessegnon. That's my best signings. The fact that we've managed to secure them both for long-term deals, that's a positive. That's a positive. You know, the fact that Kane is there for another additional year till 2020, we've battered away all those other Premier League teams. So that could be a big signing, i.e., albeit it's the same player, the fact that we've managed to secure him for the long-term. And also Sessegnon, if they both had gone, then our season will be in tatters. So if, as of now, best signing is actually securing those two on long-term contracts, but then maybe the best signing is yet to come through another player. Okay. Player of the season, difficult to predict. You know, Tom Kane is out at the moment, you know, with a slight injury. You know, Sessegnon will play more games. It's difficult to predict. Stefan Johansson, you know, is my favourite player in terms of what he offers the team. So I'd like to think he'll be my player of the season, but it's pot luck, really. So I'm going to go Steph Joe as well.
Okay.
Just because I feel a little bit of allegiance towards him.
Okay. And you both went with Stefan Johansson. I understand that. All right. Giannis, over to you.
I think the signing of the summer was the re-signing of Kearney. That was important. Good investment, because if we end up losing him at some point, you know, it'll be worth its weight in gold. And player of the season. Well, it was Kearney last year, and I don't see any reason why it couldn't be Kearney this year. I mean, we can all agree that, you know, Mac D, Steph Joe, and Kearney are the best, you know, central three in the in the division. So it'll be one, I think, one of those three, but I think it'll be Kearney. I mean, maybe as Amelia said, our best signing is yet to come. But if I'm erring on the side of caution, I'll say that it'll be Kearney, but hoping that our player of the year isn't even playing for us yet.
Okay, I like that. I like where you guys are going on that. All right. I'm going to say the best signing. I'm going with you, Giannis. It's Tom Kearney. I've been on a few podcasts, and I said the best signing in the championship, I think, is the re-signing of Tom Kearney. I think he's that important to Fulham. Getting him back, I think, is massive. Making sure that he's going to be with us this season is huge. He was already under contract, so this is just a new contract, but it certainly helps, and I think that's the best summer signing.
And, yeah, that's what my confusion was. I wasn't sure if we were talking about new signings or re-signings. I guess that's where my confusion on the question was. If it was complete signings, including re-signing, it has to be Tom Kearney. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's a Goldman. I should have defined that better, Mike, so I apologize. Okay, not a problem. That's my fault. Player of the season? I'm going to go with my player of the season last season, Kevin McDonald. I think Kevin McDonald is really the linchpin to everything. Without him, I don't think it all works. People will say it's Tom Kearney. I'm saying it's Kevin McDonald. I think he's that key to everything that we do. He protects the back four. He can start the play going forward. I think it's Kevin McDonald, so I'm going with him. All right, guys. Great show. Fantastic show. This is fun. I always enjoy doing our prediction show. And like I mentioned, I'm going to be having an interview in a few days with Ryan O'Donovan from Get West London. I look forward to that. And we're going to possibly have a show or two this week as well, because we have to preview the upcoming opener against Norwich City. So there's much going on with Cottage Talk. Before we go, I always have to get final thoughts from everyone. I'll start with you, Giannis.
Well, the Blue Jays just got 7 in the bottom of the 9th and beat the Angels, which is rather great. So I'm happy about that.
That's okay. The Red Sox just lost, so I'm not happy. But go ahead.
I'm going to have to deal with 16. I left 16 15-year-olds crying their eyes out underneath a tent about an hour and a half ago. So I've got to deal with that tomorrow. And just goes to show that this is the greatest game in the world. But sometimes the people who run this game don't have a brain cell between the bloody lot of them. Luckily, the team that we support, we have enough faith in the ownership that they'll make the right decisions, unlike where I'm from, and that we bring a few players in to give our beloved manager and coaching staff the tools that he needs to make sure that this season is even more successful than last year.
Okay, very good there. All right. Over to you, Amelia. Final thoughts.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been fun. I think it's good to connect again with Mike and Giannis. I think just message out there to the fans is we're still 1 week away from the season. Let's not panic. You know, let's reflect in 6 to 8 weeks time, and then we may have reason to panic or not. But for now, let's trust in the coach. Let's trust in the board. Tony Khan made it very clear to us when we had the supporters trust in May that there was money there. We're going to make some signings. And their number one goal was promotion, automatic promotion. He said that very clearly in black and white. So let's trust in them. They know what they're doing. They've got a vision. They've got a goal. And we have to trust that they know what they're doing. So let's not panic yet. Disappointing preseason, but that's as bad as it gets. I'm okay with that. We can only go one direction. That's going up. So let's stay positive and let's take it day by day. Other teams are in the same boat. Let's remember that. We're not the only team struggling with signings. I think it's been a fairly, other than Middlesbrough and Leeds, not many clubs have had massive big signings out there, so everyone's just taking it easy, playing it by ear, waiting for opportunities. So I think you're going to see a lot of more transfer activity in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So if we struggle to get points, as will other clubs as well. So it's, I think we're all in the same boat really, so let's not panic is my message.
Mr. O'Connor, over to you.
Yeah, echo similar thoughts. I mean, the preseason can only be disappointing if you look at results, but if you look at the actual reason for a preseason, which is to get fitness levels up, to have the team gel, maybe with new tactics, new formations, new signaling, whatever have you, then yeah, it can be a positive preseason without having any positive actual results from it. So I would say don't take too many of the preseason results as a reason to worry. We can start worrying come next weekend, depending on that result. And that as much as it's been a disappointing transfer season so far. I think that there's definitely time and money available, and that we will get a few quality signings in. And that just because they haven't been here all season doesn't mean they haven't been training with their parent units at this time or staying fit. So maybe they'll just fit right into the system. And just because other teams may have spent a lot of money doesn't mean those players will turn out to be good. Let's not forget about Mitroglou for us, right? $10 million down the hole for that young man. So just because the other players around us, other teams are getting all these massive signings, they could be injury prone or they could just come to be pants. So just keep up the faith and we'll see you come next Saturday.
Okay, excellent there. Great final thoughts from all you guys. My final thoughts is simply thank you to all the listeners of Cottage Talk. Guys, when we do the Norwich City preview, it'll be my seventh season of doing Cottage Talk, of covering Fulham. It's amazing to think. So I just want to thank everyone for listening. It's been an amazing journey. It started with Kyle Bond and myself, and now it's been about all of my co-hosts that have been wonderful, all of you guys. It's a pure joy to do this show with you guys, and I can't believe I'm about to start the seventh season of Cottage Talk, and I just want to thank all the listeners and all the co-hosts and everyone that's been on the show. Just thank you, because I love doing this show, and I love doing this with my friends, and just thank you guys. Thank you everyone for listening and being a part of Cottage Talk. All right. All right, guys, fantastic show, great show, but it is time to go. For Giannis, Mike, and Emilio, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.